Hi, everybody. I'm Dennis Prager, and this is my weekly Fireside Chat. That's the Fireside, and I'm the chat. Great to be with you. So I always think, what should I open up with? And then I take your questions, and I'm going to open up with what I just did, and that is come back from a trip to Eastern Europe and to Austria. But I want to talk to you about the Eastern Europe part in Romania specifically. So it was a remarkable trip that I'd like to tell you about because it has a lot of ramifications for understanding the world today and for Prager University specifically. I received an email about 6 months ago asking me to speak in Romania, that there were quite a number of young people watching PragerU videos in Romania, and they would like me to come and speak to them. So I was very happy to receive this. I've received invitations from various parts of the world because what we have to say is universal. There's no such thing, in my opinion, as values that are only applicable to one nation or one group. If a value is good, if an idea is good, then it's good for everybody. So whatever we have to say, we're American, but whatever we have to say is valid for anybody, anywhere. And that's why the fact that there are so many viewers around the world confirms this belief of mine. Anyway, it's not easy, obviously, for the logistics to work out to go everywhere in the world and lecture. But it was a perfect situation here because every year for the last 25 years, I have been taking cruises with my listeners, that is listeners to my American radio show. So between 100 and 200, depending on space on the boat and how many come each time. And we had a trip going from Budapest to Vienna on the Danube River. Well, Romania is not very far. It's one country away. And we said, look, if we could work it out that I could come a number of days before the cruise, by golly, I'll be happy to speak for you. So it did work out. I want to thank the terrific people who brought us there. I've talked about them on my radio show quite a bit. And it was, just on a personal level, it was a high. And I don't say that often in life, but that was a high. That there were so many people between Bucharest and Cluj, the two Romanian cities I spoke in, we had about 1,500, mostly young people, come to the two lectures, about 750 each. That's quite remarkable. As I told them in Romania, that's a good sized crowd for anywhere in the world, for New York. It doesn't matter. And it was uplifting to me to see that there were so many young people in Romania who were listening and viewing our videos. And to their great credit, their English was so good. I spoke in English. There was no translator. They understood. I know they understood what I was saying because they laughed at the exact right moment. that was a wonderful experience. Not only that, I saw, this really brought me joy. I saw my little book. I would love, obviously, my big book or any of my books, actually, to be translated. But my littlest book, just a synopsis of the videos on the Ten Commandments that I gave for PragerU, that they translated into Romanian, and it's Cele Zece Porunci. I believe I got to write the Ten Commandments, and I signed hundreds there those two evenings, so there it is in Romanian, and that's very, very uplifting for me to see. We have a very important message. Well, I told them something that they did not expect me to say. They asked me a number of occasions about America and about Western Europe, and about looking to them for guidance in values and so on. And I told them, and it pained me terribly to say this, Western Europe is certainly, unfortunately, not lookable to for values today. I have no joy in saying that. But even America is so racked by what I call this internal civil war that we're having in America between the left and the non-left. I wouldn't even say the left and the right. I would even say between left and liberals. And I make that clear, by the way. There is a book that I wrote that I spend as much time as I did on my Bible commentary on the first volume. And it's titled Still the Best Hope, Why the World Needs American Values to Prevail. And it's about Islamism, leftism, and Americanism. If you want to understand any of those three, it's like three books in one, I would beg you to read it. And I know it sounds like an author selling his book. What am I going to say? I can't get around that. But it's very, very important. It's called Still the Best Hope. And I explain leftism in that book. And it's the antithesis of the values upon which the West were founded, and especially America. America has three primary values. They're on every coin in American life, every coin. Three values: liberty, e pluribus unum, which means for many one, that no matter where you're from, you become an American. And number three, in God we trust. Liberty, God, and national identity. This is good for all countries. These are American values, but they are wonderful for any country. The left doesn't want liberty as much as it wants equality. And it wants bigger and bigger government, which means less and less liberty. It doesn't believe in God we trust. It thinks that the Judeo-Christian religions are nonsense. And it doesn't believe in e pluribus unum for many one. It doesn't believe in nationalism. It doesn't believe in borders. Leftism is the antithesis of what America was founded to be. And it is already, it's had a terribly corrosive effect on Western Europe. The nationalist aspect is the most obvious. They don't believe in the nation state. They think that that is the route to war. People having national identities. They don't realize that there's good nationalism and bad nationalism. Nazism was bad nationalism. American nationalism has been a good nationalism. It has incorporated all people's races, ethnicities, and so on. Well, anyway, I told them, look, maybe you in Romania can't look anymore to Western Europe. Maybe you in Romania and other places in East Europe, maybe you will save the West. Maybe you will save Western civilization. And I meant it. They had never heard this from a Westerner, or it seemed that they had never. It seemed that they had not. And I mean it sincerely. These are people who still take Judeo-Christian values seriously. These are people who still take national identity seriously and who love liberty because they experience communism. They really appreciate liberty. So it was a very powerful experience in Romania. And I would love to go to other East European countries and lecture as well. But if it's possible, I'd like to go, you know, all over the world. It's not possible, obviously, for logistic reasons and a whole host of others, but I feel a very deep moral impulse to explain these values everywhere because young people only hear the stuff from the left, and it's corrosive in the arts, in education, in morality, in religion. So anyway, that's why it was a fantastic trip. And you guys who brought me to Romania, God bless you. It's all I could say. They were a wonderful group of people. My wife and I and the executive director of PragerU, Alan Esserin, and his wife, we had a phenomenal time with you. Okay. Addictum Dei. The name of the group that brought us was Addictum Dei. Okay. onwards to your questions. Okay, it helps if I do it up, not upside down. All right, let's go. Hello. And, all right. Oh, well, there we go. AJ, 27 years old, California. Why are Jews predominantly left-leaning? There are many, many reasons. And it's depressing. As a Jew, as a non-leftist, it's depressing. But it's true. There are so many reasons that I could give you an entire lecture on them. It would take an hour and a half. I should write this up as a book because it's such an important question. But let me give you a very brief response. When Jews leave Judaism, they retain Judaism's desire to make the world better, but they don't use God and Torah, God and Bible. They don't use the traditional values of Judaism. They use the values of other isms. That's why Jews founded or led so many isms: Marxism, socialism, communism, feminism, environmentalism. Jews love isms. I've often said Jews are the most religious people in the world, except their religion is rarely Judaism. These are substitute religions. These are secular left religions that have substituted for Judaism. That's why the Jews who are most religious are not on the left. They already have a religion with its own distinctive values called Judaism. I mean, I give you so many examples, and I do so often. You know, I'll give you an example from the Bible. In Genesis, I talked about this on my radio show just today. In Genesis, there's three fascinating verses in chapter 26. Isaac is the son of Abraham. Abraham is the first Jew. Isaac is his son, the second Jew, as it were, or the second generation. And anyway, they were successful. They were financially successful, Abraham and Isaac. And Isaac had wells that were filled with water and were successful. But it says the Philistines envied Isaac and Abraham's wells and filled them up with earth. This was brilliant of the Bible. It was a brilliant insight. You have two choices when you see people who are more successful financially, materially than you. One is you can resent them and try to destroy them, as the Philistines did in these three verses. Instead of building their own good wells, they destroyed Isaac's good wells. This envy of those who are more, this resentment and envy of those who are more successful is a defining characteristic of leftism. That's why they have class warfare. Class warfare is central to leftism. It is the antithesis of a biblical value. You don't make war based on success, based on material possessions. You make it based on values. If the people are evil, that's a separate issue. But rich is not evil. There are good rich people and there are bad rich people, and there are good poor people and there are bad poor people. One has nothing to do with the other. So that's this class envy, this destruction. I mean, according to polls in America, about almost half of young people think that it is wrong that some people are richer than others. That is an immoral idea. Anyway, to make everybody equally poor is evil. The answer to the guy with good wells is not to destroy his wells. It's to make your own good wells. So there are many answers to your question. And one more is that the Jews have a terrible fear of the right because they identify Nazism with right wing. And the Nazis, of course, committed the Holocaust. And so they think that anything right wing smacks of Nazis. It's not only wrong, it's idiotic. But that's what foolish thinking can lead you to believe. So those are two of the big, or three of the big reasons. Jack, 32, Williamsburg, Virginia. Why do you think that people tend to forget about the Korean War? Because, I'll tell you why. This is a passion of mine, the Korean War. We have a wonderful video on the Korean War, not given by me, by Victor Davis Hanson at PragerU. You can learn about it in 5 minutes. Why do people forget about the Korean War? First of all, because we fought communism. And the left writes history. They're not happy when you fight communism. It's a sad fact. There's a phrase in French, pas d'ennemis à gauche. There are no enemies on the left. Many people on the left believe that. That's one reason. It's because we fought communism. Another is because it shows America in a very good light. Because you can't possibly say this was imperialistic. We Americans had no imperialistic aims with regard to Korea. Had nothing to do with economic desires. There is nothing produced in Korea that was wanted. They don't have oil, they don't have gold, they don't have silver, they don't have any natural resources. It was done because America fought for liberty. America looks too good, so people don't want to remember the Korean War. Mark, 16, California. Why do people ignore Christian persecution and focus on Islamic persecution? I assume you mean Christians being persecuted and Muslims being persecuted, right? Is that the question? Yeah. It's for the same reason they ignore the Korean War. They don't want to show Christians as victims. Only third world peoples could be victims. The left brings you the news. And truth is secondary to their desire to portray the world in a certain way. It is truly a tragedy that what has happened to Christians in the Muslim world is not reported. Elizabeth, 15, Indiana. What is your biggest advice for a high school student interested in pursuing politics? To answer the question, why do you want to pursue politics? That is my biggest piece of advice. Do you want to do it because you want to be a politician? Or do you want to do it because you have very, very strong values and believe that you would like to use the political system to further those values? That's great. That's what the thing you have to do most is become clear. Clear as a bell. This is what I stand for. This is what I believe in. Then learn to articulate it. Then hopefully you can do good in politics. But if part of it is, hey, I love politics, we don't want that. People who go into politics because they love politics is a problem. You got to go into politics for one reason, because you think that it is the best vehicle that you can utilize to further good values. That's it. Not because you love politics. It's okay to be a football player because you love football. It's okay to be a lawyer because you love law. But you can't be a politician because you love politics. Okay? Next, Brandon, 17, in Montana. Why do you think small towns / rural areas are generally right-leaning while large cities tend to be left-leaning? Well, I actually have a theory on this. The smaller the more rural the area, the more people take care of each other. The bigger the area, the more they want the state to take care of other people. Which is left and which is right? I take care of myself, my family, my community. That's conservative. The government takes care of me, my family, and my community. That's left wing. Okay? That's the biggest reason. People in the city like to have the government take care of them, and you can be more anonymous. So you're not really obligated to take care of your fellow individual. Devin, 18, Georgia. Do you believe that men need respect more than love? Yes, I do. That's correct. What is it? Uh, I I put it this way on my male female hour. Once every week, 1 hour on my Wednesday show is devoted to men and women, discussion about men and women. I think I put it this way. Let me think of for a moment. Men want to be respected or even adored by the woman they love, and women want to adore the man they love. I think that's the way I put it. I hope it is. But that's why there's nothing worse for a man than to be put down by his wife. That's the worst. Okay. Every man wants to be a hero to his wife. So men should act that way, and women should hopefully respond that way. Are we doing on time here? Another question? All right. Isaac, 27, San Francisco, California. It seems as if the media is working overtime to politically polarize the country. What can be done to prevent or reverse the ideological divisiveness we are experiencing today? Those are two separate questions. The media is on the left. The left wants to destroy the right. So that's it. I mean, that's why, that's the reason you get what you get in the media. That's pretty clear. Most journalists in the Western world do not believe their task is to report what happens. That's an old-fashioned view of reporting. It's boring to these people. They want to change the world. That's not their task. The task of a journalist is to report the truth, not change the world. And why is there so much divisiveness? Well, because we're in America, a civil war. The left and the non-left are at war with one another. Thank God, thus far, it's non-violent. Though I wouldn't be surprised if left-wing violence might take place. The screaming at everyone in the Republican administration in the United States who walks into a restaurant screaming and cursing at them is one step away from beating them up. And I believe if they could, they would beat them up. But they're afraid of being arrested. But if they could, I think they would beat them up. Every day now, we hear a report of this happening. This is the first in American history. That's how much hatred comes from the left. You scream and curse. You go in front of people's apartments and homes. This does not happen in American history. You go to the home of your political opponent and you start screaming, no peace, no sleep. You shut down highways, and I mean, it just happened in Chicago this past weekend. People on the left just shut down an expressway. People missed their flights. How about if a person was going to go to a doctor or go to their child's wedding and they missed it? Because self-righteous people on the left think that they owe the public nothing. Their values come first. Their politics come first. They can shut down a highway. When was the last time people on the right shut down a highway in the United States? I'll take a minute for you to think about it. Why doesn't it happen? People on the right have very strong convictions, but people on the right believe that there are rules of society. You just don't do such a thing. That is narcissistic in the extreme. People who are against abortion are very passionate about being opposed to abortion, but they haven't shut down any highways. All right. Well, I'll take one more here. Margot, 72. Oh, that's good. Do some affirmative action for some of the folks who are older. What do you think in California? What do you think about intelligent design? Do you think evolution is the best science we have on the origins of life? Evolution has nothing to say about the origins of life. It's a common misconception. Evolution has zero to say about how life originated. Evolution speaks about how species developed, but not about how life originated. Science has nothing to say about the origin of life. Nothing. Zero. Science has as much to say about the creation of life from non-life as it has to say about unicorns. Nothing. It is completely stymied by the riddle of how life came from non-life. So you should just know that. It's a common misconception. People think evolution explains life. No. Evolution, to the extent that explains anything, explains the evolution of species, but not of life. And yes, so the most obvious answer is some intelligence created it. That, to me, is the most rational answer. It's not a faith answer. It's a rational answer. Okay, my friends, it has been a joy to be with you. Always love your feedback. Tell people about this. It's a way to have completely unrehearsed, unscripted time together. And I really appreciate it. And a lot of these, not a lot, almost all of my values come from a book that is not taken seriously in the West. And that's part of the reason the West is in big trouble, because it's called the Bible. And you might want to read my rational Bible. Take a look at it. It's meant for people who don't believe anything or believe everything. In any event, whatever it is, it's great to be with you. I'll see you next week. From my home to yours, I'm Dennis Prager.